This is the weekend that traditionally we celebrate the Lord's death as well as His resurrection. We were here on Friday, of course. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to combine those two great themes of His crucifixion and His resurrection. And I want to do this because really these two ideas are at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. As believers in Jesus Christ, we believe that Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins. Amen. We also believe that He was resurrected after 3 days. And this is what we really believe and what we really hold true and dear to our hearts. If people want to know what it means to be a Christian, here's what we say. We believe that Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins and raised from death to life again. And so this morning, that's what we're going to concentrate on. We're going to ask the question, why was He crucified? Why was He resurrected? Good questions. Absolutely. Why was He? Do you know? Well, we're going to look in God's Word this morning and find out. And some of you have answers already. Praise God for that. But let's just take time before we get into God's Word to do what we need to do, and that's to pray and ask God to lead and bless us this morning. Let's do that. Our Father in Heaven, we want to thank You this morning for this indescribable gift called Your Word. And, Lord, in it, You have packed wisdom. All that we need to know, Father, about how to live a life of godliness and how to live a life that pleases You and glorifies You. And, Father, we pray this morning that as we open up Your Word, that we would just be amazed anew by the absolute privilege of having this Word before us. And, Lord God, with that sense of awe, would You give us a new sense of eagerness, a desire like the Bereans had in your Bible, those men and women of old who eagerly looked into Your words, searching the Scriptures. And Father, may You give us that spirit this morning, a hunger for Your Word and a hunger to know why Jesus was crucified, why He was raised to life again. And Father, may we this morning, when we are all done here, leave with a sense that I understand in a greater and a clearer way, or have been reminded how precious is my Jesus and how wonderful is my salvation, which You've given to me through faith. And so, Lord, it's through faith that we come to You, asking for Your guidance, Your Holy Spirit. And be pleased to answer that prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 4, verse 25. We'll get into it, verse 25. And we're going to ask the question, why was Jesus Christ crucified? Why was He crucified? Verse 25 says this, He was delivered up because of our offenses. Why was He crucified? He was delivered up, we're told, because of our offenses. Now, children, that word delivered, He was delivered up. Do any of you know what the word deliver means? Deliver. Have you ever heard that word before? Deliver. Let me ask you this. What does the mailman do when he comes to your house? Any ideas what he does with those letters? He what? I'll start you off. Yes? He delivers mail. And that means what? He takes the mail out of his bag and he hands it to you, right? Or he puts it in your mailbox, right? And the word that Paul's using here when he says that Jesus Christ was delivered means He was handed over to be crucified. Now, who did that? I mean, who would ever do such a thing? Who would deliver Jesus Christ to be crucified? I guess one of the immediate responses would be Judas, right? When we think of Christ being delivered, we think of that traitor, that betrayer named Judas. And we would be right to think that because in your Bibles, in Matthew 26, verses 14 to 16, we're told that one day Judas went to the chief priests and the scribes and he did a deal with them and he offered to betray Jesus. We're told that he went out seeking opportunity to betray Him, literally to deliver Him. And so Judas would be a correct answer, but not the only answer. We're told in the Bible that the Jews also had their hand in delivering up Jesus Christ to be crucified. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew 20, verses 18 to 19 says this, that the Son of Man, this is Jesus Christ speaking, would be betrayed to chief priests and the scribes, and that they would condemn him and, guess what? Deliver him to the Gentiles to mock him and scourge him and to crucify him. And so not only was it Judas who delivered Jesus to be crucified, but it was the Jews. But get this, if we think that that's ultimately who delivered Jesus up to be crucified, we would be what? Wrong. It wasn't Judas. It wasn't the Jews that ultimately delivered Jesus to be crucified. Who was it? It was God. Ultimately, it was God who delivered him up. You see, where do you get that from? Well, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, to verse 32. I think that makes it pretty clear. Just turn one page over to verse 32. Romans 8, 32. This is talking about God, who did not spare his own son, but what? Delivered him up. Who delivered up Jesus Christ to be crucified, ultimately? It was God. You see, now why would God do that? Why would God deliver up his own son to be crucified? That sounds like rough treatment, doesn't it? Genesis 3:16. Good. 15. But good. Yes. We're on to something here. Emma, why did God do that? Because he loves us. Yes, absolutely. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. Perfect. You parents, would you ever do that to your children? Would you ever deliver up your children to be crucified? Children, would you like that? If your parents just delivered you up to be crucified? To be nailed on a piece of wood? Wouldn't that hurt? Well, why did God do it? Why did God deliver up his son to be crucified? Well, it says right there in verse 25. Read on. In Romans 4, verse 25. He was delivered up because of our what? Our offenses, our sins. That's what an offense means. It's a sin. He was delivered up because of our trespasses, because of our transgressions. Well, why did God do that? Well, here's why he did it. He did it to satisfy his own divine justice. You see, when you sin against an infinitely holy God, the punishment for doing that must be what? It must be death. Fill in the blank with me. Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death. That's right. What do you deserve for having sinned against an infinitely holy God? Death. Physical death. Spiritual death. Eternal death. Now my question to you is this. How do we get out of that dilemma? The only way to get out of that dilemma is if that justice is completely and totally satisfied. And here's what Jesus Christ did. He totally and completely satisfied God's justice by dying on that cross. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew what? No sin became what? Sin for us. That's right. He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. And in doing so, he satisfied divine justice in our place. He was delivered up because of our offenses, because of our sins. Now, what do we do with this? What do you do with this? With this amazing gift where you deserve to die because of your sins, but God has provided an answer, a solution to that problem by sending his son to die on the cross for your sins. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? Well, I'll tell you what you do with it. You do this. First of all, you repent of your sin. When the people back in Peter's day were listening to Peter preach a sermon, and Peter was preaching about Jesus Christ, we're told that they were pricked to the hearts and they did something. They said, what must we do to be saved? And what did Peter say? Repent. What does that mean? It just means change the way you think. Stop going one way, start going another. Stop doing what you want to do, start doing what God wants you to do. And what does God want you to do? He wants you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The Bible says if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, you'll be what? You'll be saved. And so if you're here this morning, And you've not yet done that, then today's the day that you need to get that right with God and to repent and to put your faith in Jesus Christ and trust in him as the one who was delivered up for your offenses. The Word of God says that you do that, you'll be saved. And God will welcome you into an everlasting relationship with Himself. And so make the day that you do that, where you repent and you believe in Jesus Christ. What else you do with this? You do this. You recognize the intensity of God's love for you. You recognize the intensity of God's love for you. What would have motivated God to do what He did? To give up His only dear Son, to deliver Him up for your offenses. What motivated God to do that? We know with all things ultimately is glory. But how did God display that? How did God show that? Through His love. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ what? He died for us. Did you catch the present tense of that verb demonstrates? God demonstrates. Not He demonstrated, but He demonstrates. In other words, every day He shows that. He demonstrates on an ongoing basis to the people of God that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. In other words, what God wants you to know is that He wants to show every day His love for you by getting you to focus on Jesus Christ and the amazing sacrifice which He performed on your part, on your behalf. And God wants you to know that love. So often we can doubt God's love. Do you not find that yourself? Does God love me? How could God love me because of all the sin in my life? Do you ever think that way? Do you? Yeah? No? Yes? Yeah? Some of you? Okay. Sometimes that thought comes to my mind. And I'll tell you, the reason why we think that way is because we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking at our sin. We're focusing on our sin. I'm not saying we have to deal with our sin. I'm just saying that we often focus in the wrong place. And we focus on our sin and we ask the question, how could God ever love me? When we should be looking where? At Him. At Christ. Who was delivered up for our offenses. Did you catch the plural there, by the way? Offenses. All of them. Every single sin that you have ever committed or that you will commit, Jesus Christ was delivered up for those sins. That's good news, isn't it? Because we've committed a lot of sins, friends, haven't we? And we're going to commit a whole bunch more before we die. The Word of God says that He was delivered up for all of them. He paid the penalty for every single sin you ever have or ever will commit. All the guilt of all that sin was heaped on Him, and He bore it in your place. I mean, that's amazing news. Amazing news. And friends, if we can't see the love of God poured through that event, wow, I mean, what's going to persuade you of His love? I mean, there's the greatest expression of His love. He would give His only Son to you to die for you and to just pardon all of your sins and every single one of your offenses. Praise God for that. And so what else? Well, this, we have to routinely, I think, fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. Get your eyes off of your sin. I'm not saying don't deal with it. I'm just saying get your eyes on Jesus Christ. And remember that in God, in Jesus Christ, God has forgiven and taken care of all of your sins. He was delivered up because of your trespasses. Why did He die? Why was He crucified? For your sins. That's why. And how we need to hear this, I think, day in and day out. And how we need to be persuaded that God has done a great thing for us. The cross of Jesus Christ. That's why. But then secondly, there's another reason reason we have to look at this morning. Why is it that Jesus Christ was raised? Why is it that Jesus Christ was raised? And here we're dealing with, a difficult sentence to interpret. We're told that He was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And this is not an easy sentence to interpret or even to understand. And there's a lot of debate over what this is saying. Here's what I think Paul means. Here's what I think he's saying. He's saying that when Christ died for our sins, He made a full and a sufficient payment for our forgiveness and for our justification. That's what Christ did on the cross. And He secured our justification on the cross, even though it had not yet been effected by faith. He secured our justification on the cross at Calvary. And therefore, it would have been unjust for God not to have raised His Son from the grave. Get this. Having paid everything that we need to be in a right relationship with God, having taken care of our debt load on the cross at Calvary, there was no just reason for God not to raise His Son from the dead. No just reason to prolong that death warrant. None whatsoever. Hey, listen, if you were caught for doing something and put in jail, and you were sentenced to 20 years in life, I don't know what the crime was, and that 20 years ended, would you not feel that you had the right to leave prison? Yeah? And would you not feel that God was, or not God, but the prisoner, or the prison, the state, let's say, would be unjust to keep you in jail? Right? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you feel that way? Listen. God would have been unjust had He left His Son in the grave after having made full and sufficient payment for your justification. And it was because He paid it to the full that God raised Him from the grave. And in doing so, showed Himself to be a just God. And at the same time, showing you that He had fully paid for every sin that you will ever, have ever committed. He was raised because of our justification. That's what I think Paul means when he says there, He was raised because of our justification. Now here's the evidence. Here's the evidence that God accepts you. Here it is. And so often we're plagued with a sense, you know, does God love me? Will He accept me? Does He do that? And the solution, friends, is to go to that empty tomb. Because there God gives us the evidence that we are accepted. Because that tomb vindicates Christ's work on the cross for us. It says it has been finished. The resurrection is God's amen to the Son's cry. It's finished. The Son had not finished His work, the Father would never have let Him up. But the fact that the Father did let Him up is evidence that He did make full payment for your sins. And so when you begin to doubt, does God accept me? Where do you look? You look to the empty tomb. Because friends, if He's not alive, if He's not risen, then Father did not accept that redemptive work. And you're still in your sins. And if you're in your sins, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, you're more pity than all men. But the opposite is true. Christ has paid for your sins. He has secured your justification. And because He's done that, God raised Him from the grave. You know, I think so often we just look in the wrong place. We get so discouraged. We get so downcast. We look at the sin in our life and we just, oh God, how could You love me? How could You accept me? The fact of the matter remains is that we're looking in the wrong place. Get your eyes off that and get them on that empty tomb where God demonstrates, where God says, yeah, your sins are forgiven. Believe that. Understand that. He was raised because of your justification. Absolutely, there's the evidence. And here's the confidence that God will raise you up. Now listen to this. If God raised Him up because He'd done everything to secure your justification, don't you think that having done that, that God Himself will also now, because of what Christ has done, raise you up? Hey, listen. Jesus Christ has paid the full payment for your sins. He has suffered death to the max. There remains no reason to keep that Savior in the ground. The same now applies to you. Christ has done that for you. There's no good reason why you're going to remain in the ground if you're in Jesus Christ this morning. And that means this. You and I have no reason to fear the grave. Because we're told in the Bible that if we are trusting in Jesus Christ, we too will be raised. And we can join Job, who said that in my flesh I will see God. We can join the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, who says that death is swallowed up in victory. Why was Christ raised? He was raised for your justification. He was raised because he'd done everything needed for you to be declared right with God. Why was he crucified? It was for your sins. Why was he raised? It was because of your justification. And friends, these are the thoughts that I want you to absorb yourself in this weekend. They're not new thoughts, but they're basic thoughts. They're thoughts that are at the heart and the center of the Christian life. What it means to live for God. What it means to be a Christian. And just this morning, if you're not in Jesus Christ, if you never entered into that relationship with Him, if you're still living a life and doing your own thing, and you know that you're doing that, and that today is the day to make the break, to fess up and tell God you've sinned and fallen short, and to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior, as the one who died for your sins, who was delivered up for your trespasses, and raised for your justification. Friends, these are great thoughts. Let's keep them in our hearts this weekend. It's what it means to believe, to live for the glory of God. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray then that you'll just take these words and put them on our hearts. Lord, so often we look in the wrong place. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. And let that seeking and that focusing elevate the hopes of our hearts so that we don't go about discouraged and downcast. Father, what a great salvation you've given us. What a fantastic Savior. And Lord, even if we don't understand all things, you do, and that's enough. We know, Lord, that this life is just a blip on the radar of eternity. And I pray, Father, with all my heart, that those who have come here this morning who have not yet submitted their lives to you, have not yet come to see the joy of living in a relationship, a right relationship with you, would see that. And Father, that those who have would not take this salvation for granted. Oh Lord God, that we would know the cost by which it was purchased for us. And Lord God, that we would revel in it and delight in it and always keep our eyes fixed where they should be at Jesus Christ, the founder and the finisher of our faith, in whose name we pray. Amen.